Gillis into Braden Smith. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And for the first time in 41 years, Nebraska knocks off the top-ranked team in the country, and they are storming the floor. They are storming the floor. They are storming the floor.
Love it.
Sign your name, Fred Hoiberg. There's your signature win.
Well, Nebraska, men's basketball. Did you know Nebraska is a basketball school?
I have heard.
Yeah. I mean, everybody knows that by now. Nebraska last night behind 14 made three-pointers, beat number one Purdue 88-72. Nebraska's now 13-3 overall, 3-2 in the Big Ten. That loss for K-State at home to Nebraska looks better now, doesn't it?
A little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. And so it was the fourth time in program history in Nebraska be a number one ranked team. Never won NCAA tournament game. Maybe that'll change this year. First time in 41 years. Last time to be a number one team was 1982. And according to Myron Medcalf here on Twitter, he says that on March 3rd, 1958, head coach Jerry Bush led Nebraska to a win over number one K-State. January 9th, yesterday, his grandson, Fred Hoiberg, leads Nebraska to a win over number one Purdue. And if that's all true, that's pretty wild and crazy stuff.
Yeah, well, I knew the grandson thing was true, but yeah. the dates, who knows what happened way back in the 50s. I wasn't around.
Absolutely. Yeah, I wasn't either. No more unbeatens in college men's basketball. We were talking yesterday about how does Houston jump Kansas, and Houston proved they didn't deserve to jump Kansas in the polls. Hello, you're not in the AAC anymore, Houston. They go to Iowa State. Iowa State was up 12-0, and Houston loses to Iowa State 57-53. Iowa State 12-3. The Cougars of Houston now 14-1. There are no more unbeatens in college basketball, and this is the fourth time here recently. It used to be that you always had unbeaten past the middle of January. Now that's 4 years in a row, I believe, where we don't have any undefeateds by the middle of January. So more parity, of course, in college basketball. But last night, number one and number two lose. So, hey, guess what? Kansas wins out this week. They're probably the new number one, in case you care about that.
We're in our group. It was like, who's going to be number two next week after Houston lost, right? Yeah. And then we're like, whoops, who's going to be number one?
Yeah, exactly right. No doubt. Speaking of number one, we've got an area athlete that's ranked number one in wrestling, and we have an area team ranked number one.
Yes, the Kansas Basketball Coaches Association will start. That's what I have first on my list. And in 3A boys, the 8-0 Beloit Trojans have moved up to the number one spot. They're in Class 3A in the Kansas Basketball Coaches Association. So, again, that's the first rankings of 2024, and they moved into that top spot after Heston lost earlier this year as well. So Beloit number one. Ellsworth is number 10 now in 3A boys as well. And then in 2A boys, Sacred Heart number 9. 1A Division 1 boys, Osborne is number 4. And 1A Division 2. St. John's Tipton number 8 this week. And then in the girls' side of things, in Class 2A, Smith Center number 5, 1A Division 1, Osborne number 10, 1A Division 2, St. John's Tipton is number 10. You can find full rankings at ncksports.com for the KBCA and the Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association, where, yes, Rogan Monty of Beloit at 113 pounds and 3-2-1A is still ranked number 1. Again, his first loss of the his career came to a kid from North Platte, Nebraska, so he wasn't penalized by that in the Kansas rankings, as he is number one at 113 pounds, number two in the all-class rankings at 215 pounds. Luke Franklin is number two from Smith Center, number seven in the all-class rankings. And Brody Boudreaux, Beloit, is number four at 215. And then at 190, Luke Franklin of Smith Center is number six. Again, all those rankings at ncksports.com. Didn't have any high school basketball last night, obviously, with all the postponements and school being canceled in the area. So we don't have any games to tell you about, but we do remind you we have high school basketball locker room chats coming up tonight as we talk with the head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith Center, and Thunder Ridge around 5:15 on KD Country 94 and KDCountry94.com. So that'll catch you up on local sports.
Interesting, in the boys' rankings, three of the six NCAA teams are ranked in the top 10. Sacred Heart 9 and 2A, and Ellsworth, who Beloit beat at Ellsworth earlier the year, they're 10 and 3A, and Beloit's now number one in 3A. And I'll say this to be consistent. You know, I have a son on the Beloit team. I will say the neat thing about it is he can say that he was a member of a team that was ranked number one in the state, whether they win the state championship or not. Of course, trust me, that team isn't worried about being number one as much as they want to win it all for the first ever state championship of Beloit basketball, and they've been so close so many times. But you know, in regards to consistency, that ranking doesn't help Beloit at all seeding-wise for the state tournament or anything. So rankings are nice. It's fun, as we said. It's cool, you know, for kids to say, hey, we're ranked in the top 10 or we're ranked number one. But at the end of the year, you remember who won the state title. You don't remember who was number one on January the 10th, which is a great day, by the way. Don't go yet. Hold on just a second.
Okay.
All right, because I want to get this in. The eight-man All-Star Game selections.
Oh, yes.
You need to get that in before I let you go.
Yes. We do have area athletes that have been selected for the eight-man All-Star Games. You can find the full selections there at ncksports.com as well for the eight-man All-Star Games. The games will be taking place on June 8th at Trojan Field in Beloit. Majority of our area selections are in the eight-man Division II game. The Division II East team, Nathan Goheen and Doak Guttery of Osborne, as well as Ian Kersine from Lakeside and Chance Jermark of St. John's Tipton selected to play, and Mason Baker of Thunder Ridge, along with Brody Batchman and Lane Homewood of Sylvan Lucas, selected on the D2 West squad. And then the D1 West, Logan Meyer, selected to play from Lincoln. And then Lincoln's assistant coach, Colby Hamill, or Lincoln's head coach, Colby Hamill, will be an assistant coach for the Division I West as well. It'll be the second time that Colby will be an assistant at the eight-man All-Stars, as he was once when he was at Rock Hills as well.
All right, ncksports.com. Check all that out. Now, stick around for this one real quick. I want somebody to be with me when I read this. So Miami Dolphin, there's Dolphin fan or fans saying that it's going to be so cold in Kansas City, and they're telling people to stay home because it's too cold, that the game should get moved to Indianapolis. But did they move the games when they're in Miami when they're 102 and humid as hell? Did they move that to a dome? Of course not. So there's a Chiefs fan that put this out on Twitter. I don't know if you've seen this, but I'm going to read this letter to Miami fans. I think it's hilarious. You ready?
I'm ready.
So this is from a Chiefs fan to Miami Dolphin fans. Chiefs Dolphins going to play. Temperature's supposed to be 0, -9, wind chill at kickoff possibly. There's some winds. Here's the letter. Dear Miami fans, welcome to Kansas City. We're in the middle of America. We have hearts of gold. We get four seasons of weather. It rains, it snows, it gets windy, it gets hot, it gets perfect, and sometimes tornado sirens go off. We love our town, our people, our culture, and we have a ton of great food options. Our lifestyle is simpler, a little slower at times, and for us, it works. In January, which is often referred to as a winter month, it can get cold here. Last year, we had some days in the 70s. This week, we get snow and cold. The Dolphins and Chiefs play an outdoor sport in the elements. Fans who live in these elements know how to adjust. Just like early season games can be hotter than hell in Miami, late season games in the Midwest can be cold. Both have advantages to the resident team. The modern technology of today will keep the players quite warm. The older generation of players didn't have luxuries of today or the technology, but they found a way to play the game back in the day. The modern technology of today will keep fans quite warm, and of course, so will bourbon, fireball, and other homegrown remedies. This is the best part. For fans bitching about the weather, you can lick a frozen pole for all I care. In fact, lick your hands first, grab said frozen pole, then stick your tongue on the frozen pole. That should silence some of the dumbest takes that have been published on Twitter X over the past 24 hours. In other words, get over it, get over yourselves, and welcome to Kansas City.
Oh, man. That's a sense of entitlement in this day and age, though, right? Yeah. Like, let's move the game to Indianapolis so we don't have to play in the cold.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
I mean, I know that's not the Dolphins saying that.
Behind the ruse that they care about Kansas Cityans because they're told to stay home because it's too cold. Like, you're worrying about safety.
Yeah, exactly.
Whatever, dude. So that cracks me up. Of course, Clover says they should move it. Well, of course he'd say that. He's a Dolphin fan, but I thought your team was toast, so why do you care where the game's played, Clover? Come on now.
He wouldn't be saying that about an Oklahoma game against Miami, the Hurricanes, in December if it's really, really cold.
No, he would not.
Like,
no, he would not. It's funny how that works. I thought that was a really good letter from a Chiefs fan to Miami fans there. It's ridiculous that somebody wants to bring that up, that the game should be moved because it's too cold. Give me a break. Come on now. I mean, what people want to say, we've kind of wimped out in America sometimes. Things have gotten, that people have become soft and so forth. That would be just another step towards being softer than ever before, in my opinion. Coming up in 30 seconds on Sports Ticket, brought to you by Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit, your home for fast, friendly auto repair. K-State men's basketball team with a win on the road. Plus, we'll take a look at KU on the road tonight. And also, a coach getting fired in the NFL who won't be unemployed very long, and an NBA coach getting a lot of money.
Does your vehicle have a leak, squeak, or rattle? Is there an annoying warning light shining at you from the dash? I'm Elijah at Kiefer Brothers Automotive in Beloit. If you have an automotive issue, don't just live with it because you're afraid of what it might cost to get it fixed. We offer a 15-minute no-wrench inspection for free, so you can get a professional opinion about your problem without spending a dime. Call or stop by today. We're happy to take a look at almost anything for free. That's Kiefer Brothers Automotive, just south of the courthouse in Beloit, and online at KieferBrothers.com.
It's time for K-State in Focus. Our focus on Kansas State athletics, brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit.
Finister gave it up for three, Kaluma. Oh, that's the exclamation point. West Virginia got down double figures, and it clawed back in, but it was just down too much.
And K-State in Focus brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit, as the K-State men's basketball team gets a win on the road last night to improve to 2-0 in the Big 12. As they're 12-3 overall, West Virginia drops to 5-10, 0-2 in conference play. That three by Arthur Kaluma helps seal the deal. K-State wins after trailing by two at halftime. 81-67 the final in Morgantown. Cam Carter led four players in double figures. He had 23 points, 10 for 10 from the line. Kaluma and David Gasson had 17 each. Will McNair, 12 points and 9 rebounds. Raekwon Battle led West Virginia 21 points, but cooled down the second half after scoring 18 in the first half. Jerome Tang, head coach of the Wildcats, on the tough road win.
Anytime you can get a win, especially one on the road, you're just super thankful, and you try to figure out how to keep getting better. I know we can win on the road. Tough teams win on the road. It's just some nights it doesn't matter, right? Like the other team is just better than you, or things don't work out. So when you're able to get them to work out, it's great, and then we go back to the drawing board.
K-State men's basketball team has a favorable schedule to start out Big 12 conference play. Then it'll get tougher, and they're off to a 2-0 start with that win on the road at West Virginia last night. Just now 3-9 all-time against West Virginia and Morgantown since the teams have both been in the Big 12. Big 12 women's basketball, number 12 K-State women, 15-1, 3-0 in the Big 12, will host 9-5 and also 3-0 Oklahoma. That tip-off is at 6 o'clock tonight on ESPNU from Manhattan, and then K-State gets ready for a big showdown on Saturday against number 10 Texas. So all that coming up for the K-State women. If they would win both these games, I would think they'll jump in the top 10, but we shall see. So that's a look at K-State Sports in Focus. By the way, baseball team will have they'll start their season in February, believe it or not. So we just roll from sport to sport. That's what we do. You can check out all those schedules, kstatesports.com. Our focus on K-State athletics brought to you by Heineken Electric in Beloit and by Hanson Auction Realty in Beloit. You know, Cam Carter having the big game last night, and if Cam Carter plays really well, K-State's got a chance. But if he plays poorly, I think K-State's got some issues, although Tyler Perry's capable of lighting up like he did the other day in the season opener against Central Florida. Speaking of Central Florida, number 3 KU hits the road tonight to face Central Florida in Orlando. Jayhawks ranked number 2 in the country, 13-1 overall. Actually, number 3 in the country. They should have never been jumped, but they are number 3, but they will move up to either 1 or 2 if they win their next two games. Jayhawks 13-1, 1-0 in the Big 12. Central Florida coming off that big loss to K-State, 77-52. On Saturday in Manhattan, they're just 9-4 on the season. Bill Self, head coach of the Jayhawks, on playing well on the road.
You know, all road games are always tough, and it's only our second true road game for the year. Our league's a monster, but that's a game that you got to go down and play well in.
So KU trying to start the conference season at 2-0. It's a game that KU should win. But you never know. KU's never been in Orlando to play Central Florida, as far as I'm aware of. And Central Florida being welcome in the Big 12 with open arms and a murderous schedule. After playing K-State and being drubbed by 25 in Manhattan, they have to play four straight ranked teams. Welcome to the Big 12, Central Florida. Welcome to Big 12, Houston, who lost one conference game all of last year, and they're already 1-1 and lost their first one, as we said earlier, against Iowa State and Ames last night, 57-53. Other Big 12 games last night, number 14 Baylor beat number 18 BYU, 81-72 in Waco. Baylor has a brand new basketball arena. It's really cool. It looks awesome. But the TV shot is higher than it used to be with the old arena, so it took a little getting used to yesterday. Number 25 Texas barely wins at Cincinnati, 74-73, and Texas Tech wins 90-73 at home over Oklahoma State. In other sports news, Mike Vrabel. I was kind of surprised by this. Mike Vrabel is out as the Titans head coach after six seasons. He was fired yesterday. The team announcing this, citing an effort to build more aligned and collaborative leadership atop the organization. Mike Vrabel is only 48 years young. He is as old as me. It's my birthday today, and I just revealed how old I am. But Vrabel is just days removed from leading Tennessee to an upset win over AFC South rival Jacksonville that kept the Jags out of the playoffs. Former coach of the year, he's led the Titans to the playoffs three times, been AFC title game one time. But recently they went 6-11 and they missed the postseason now for 2 years in a row. And here's what I'm going to say about Mike Vrabel. If Bill Belichick does not stay in New England, New England should go grab Mike Vrabel. I think that'd be a perfect guy to fit what New England is all about. Mike Vrabel is a very smart and highly respected coach. He reminds me of Mike Tomlin a little bit. And I know that Mike Tomlin's had, 17 straight winning seasons, and Vrabel's had back-to-back losing seasons. Mike Tomlin did benefit from a Hall of Famer quarterback for quite some time, and Ben Roethlisberger. Tell me what great quarterback Mike Vrabel's been able to work with. I mean, he had to play a rookie this year, Will Levis. Ryan Tannehill had a couple of good years, but he's not a star quarterback. Mike Vrabel never had a franchise quarterback at Tennessee, and yet his team went to the AFC Championship game. They made it to the playoffs 3 times in his first 4 years on the job. They won division titles. Imagine if Mike Vrabel gets his Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, C.J. Stroud type of guy. Can you imagine what could happen? You know, it is interesting to me. We talk so much about coaches, but you have to get the quarterback right. Think about all the examples you could throw out there. Like, Bill Belichick's a great example. In Cleveland, you know, he struggled first when he made the playoffs, I think, 1 year in Cleveland. Then he got hired by the Jets and then changed his mind, became the head coach of the Patriots. Patriots weren't great right off the bat. Then Tom Brady steps in for an injured Drew Bledsoe, and next thing you know, you have the greatest of all time leading into 6 Super Bowl victories and 9 Super Bowl appearances. And then Brady leaves New England and goes to Tampa, and he wins a Super Bowl in his first year at Tampa. And Bill Belichick has struggled at New England since Tom Brady left. So, does that mean that Tom Brady was the entire team and that was all that made New England tick? Of course not. But what it tells me, but Tom Brady then went and played with a different coach. Bruce Arians, a pretty good coach, went and played for a different coach. And Tom Brady won Super Bowls with 2 different head coaches, 2 different organizations. Bill Belichick's won Super Bowls, 6 of them, which is amazing, but with the same quarterback and the same organization. And he may have a chance to prove himself if he leaves New England and goes somewhere else. So now you look at Tennessee. Have they ever truly got the quarterback position right at Tennessee? And unless you say Ryan Tannehill, the answer is no. And he didn't have good quarterback play last year or this year, and Tannehill's been hurt and banged up, and they've struggled the last 2 years. That's not hard to figure out. You have injuries at quarterback, you struggle at quarterback, your team struggles. And the Titans, the last 2 years, have struggled. Quarterback play hasn't been that great. So if Mike Vrabel finds the right quarterback, he looks a lot smarter as a coach, doesn't he? You want to use another example? Let's look at Andy Reid. Andy Reid had Donovan McNabb, a very good quarterback at Philadelphia, but not quite good enough to win a Super Bowl. Goes to Kansas City, starts his first year 9-0. Chiefs go to the playoffs, blow a 38-10 lead with Alex Smith as their quarterback. The next year, they led, 21-0 at halftime and lost to, oddly enough, it was Tennessee. And Mike Vrabel, 22-21, didn't score in the second half. What changed where Andy Reid was finally able to win Super Bowls? What got Andy Reid over the hump to finally win Super Bowls? Got the quarterback right. He understood that Alex Smith's only going to take me so far. Let's hand the keys off to Patrick Mahomes. He signed off, Andy Reid, on moving up 17 spots to trade with the Bills to get Patrick Mahomes. They got the quarterback position right. If you get the quarterback position right, you are halfway there. I mean, look at the University of Kansas, if you want to go to a college level. Kansas, the last time they had it right quarterback-wise was Todd Reesing, and that's the last time they had a really good quarterback, oddly enough. When they've struggled all these years and they've changed tons of coaches, have they ever had that stud quarterback or a really good or great quarterback? No, the answer is no, not even close. Then all of a sudden, Jalen Daniels plays well last year, and Kansas suddenly starts winning games. Granted, there's more talent around, better talent around with Lance Leipold, head coach of the University of Kansas. But the key is you got Jalen Daniels as your quarterback, and he progressed to where he was outstanding last year. In fact, so good that he was a preseason Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year. When you get the quarterback right, coaching is easier. It's kind of like in basketball. If you have a really good point guard who is the quarterback of your basketball team. If you have a point guard that you trust, you have a, maybe it's a 2-3 year starter at point guard, or a true point guard that's really good at distributing the ball. He's a leader. He or she's a leader, gets everybody in place. That's like having an extra assistant coach on the bench, except they're on the floor. Teams that have excellent point guards tend to do better than teams that don't. Right? In yes. football, if you have a good quarterback, you tend to do better than teams that have average quarterbacks. Dusty's jumping back in. He had to interview a coach. What I'm talking about is Mike Vrabel. Mike Vrabel just got fired yesterday by the Tennessee Titans at the age of 48. He'll be unemployed not very long. Mm-hmm. And I'm looking at what he did at Tennessee, and to me it's quite remarkable. I mean, he didn't have Lamar Jackson, C.J. Stroud. He didn't have Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen. He had Ryan Tannehill. And he had Will Levis this year, and he had Malik Willis last year for some games, and all he did was come down. He beat Kansas City at Arrowhead in a playoff game with Marcus Mariota, who was a highly thought of draft pick, obviously, and won a Heisman, but he wasn't a great NFL quarterback, and he's a career backup basically ever since then. So they never truly got the quarterback position right at Tennessee, and yet he won 3 division titles, I believe it is. Made the playoffs 3 of his first 4 years. His team still playing hard, just beat Jacksonville and spoiled their season, knocked them out of the playoffs this past week. It helps have Derrick Henry, don't get me wrong, but he's never had the great quarterback. And honestly, that's why they lost in the AFC title game to the Chiefs when they're up 10-0, is because they had Tannehill and the Chiefs had Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Like, I do see the play Mahomes made before halftime. Remember, he scrambles, stays on inbounds on the sideline and scores right before halftime. So what I'm trying to say is, you know, Bill Belichick, I was mentioning, obviously, he won all kinds of Super Bowls, but he's only won Super Bowls with one quarterback. And Brady's won Super Bowls with 2 different coaches. What's more important, the coach or the quarterback? I would argue the quarterback probably is. However, you still need good coaches.
Yeah.
You have a great quarterback. Some coaches, you had Aaron Rodgers at Green Bay, and Mike McCarthy only won 1 Super Bowl. Now, to me, that's underachieving, okay? And the Packers had Favre and Rodgers combined for all those years, and all they won were 2 Super Bowls during that genre, and only 3 Super Bowl appearances. Rodgers only went to Super Bowl 1 time. So you can, you know, quarterback, if you have great quarterbacks, that can cover up not so good coaching. It can still make you really good. Coaching's still important. I think Mike Vrabel is a hell of a coach, and I think the perfect fit's New England. If Belichick leaves, it makes total sense, but he still doesn't have a quarterback in New England unless he can build up Mac Jones. So Andy Reid couldn't win a Super Bowl until he got the quarterback, the franchise quarterback. He had Donovan McNabb. He was a really good player, no doubt. Not quite good enough to win at all, was he? They win and go to the NFC title game multiple times. But McNabb in crunch time and some key moments didn't deliver. Mahomes, of course, has already in his career. In his first 5 years as starter, this is 6 years as starter. And we know all about Super Bowl appearances, 3, 5 straight AFC title games, been in the playoffs every year. Least amount of wins is this year with 11. The worst seed in the playoffs is a 3 seed. You're always in it. You know, it's kind of like Bill Self in Kansas basketball. If you're always a 1 or a 2, you always have a chance to break through. Yep, there's going to be chance for disappointment and you get upset, but eventually you're going to break through. And that's what they did 2 years ago in 2022, did it in 2008. The Chiefs the same way. If you keep having Patrick Mahomes, you win 11 games year in and year out, and you're always winning division title, you're making a playoffs, guess what? You're going to win. You're going to probably get upset in some game somewhere, yes, but you're also going to win. You have a better chance of winning Super Bowls. If you make it multiple times, the odds are you're going to win a few of those. But you got to get there. And Tennessee never did get to the Super Bowl under Mike Vrabel. And to me, it's very simple. It's not because he's not a great coach. It's because he never had the quarterback.
Yeah.
And so now he's being pushed out. And Will Levis, I don't know if he's the answer in the future. Tannehill, you know, was banged up the last 2 years. What happens if Mike Vrabel gets his Lamar Jackson? Well, you see CJ Stroud or Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Patrick Mahomes. What happens if Vrabel gets the quarterback like Bill Belichick got when they stumbled upon a 6th round pick out of Michigan and Tom Brady, and then Belichick got hurt before they even knew to play Tom Brady? I think Mike Vrabel, if he finds a team that has that quarterback, that quarterback that you know is truly a franchise quarterback. Ryan Tannehill is never a franchise quarterback. Give him a franchise quarterback. I think Mike Vrabel is going to make it to a Super Bowl someday. I really do.
With the right personnel, I agree. I think he could get there, and I think he is a heck of a coach. And as you're talking about all that, I think I've already knew this, but it's like a thing that clicks in your mind just one day, right? The way that pro sports are structured is kind of wild, because it's like, I know that Andy Reid has influence on who the Chiefs pick,
sure.
right? But the general manager typically goes out and gets those guys for you, right? Like, so GM and scouts are the ones that are looking at everything, and then they're going to go draft a quarterback for you. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how much input Mike Vrabel had at all on who the quarterbacks were that got picked with Willis and Levis that have been picked the last two times by the Titans, but it is kind of crazy that it's like, okay, I'm going to put this team together, and you're the one that has to go win with it. Like, the GM says, I'll put it together, you go win with it, and if it's not good, it's your fault, not mine. Like, if you can't coach these guys that I picked for you,
right.
it's your fault, not mine. Like, a coach will get fired, and he didn't even make the decisions to get the quarterback sometimes, right? And it's like, and I understand that that's his job, and they know that, but, you know, not everything is like Kansas City, where there's a heavy input by the head coach about who comes in mm-hmm. and has chances to play in the offense or what that may be, right? Like, and I think we all know that Andy Reid signed off on Patrick Mahomes. Like, you know, Brett Veach is the one that really was pushing for him, and, you know, Dorsey technically was the one that drafted him at the time, but it's like, that's a different situation. Mm-hmm. And so now what if Mike Vrabel wanted somebody else, right? Like right. maybe he could have got a quarterback that he was pushing for mm-hmm. and maybe he'd be in a different spot today, but he got what he got and, mm-hmm. and didn't have success. Now I'm not saying that's the case, but it is kind of crazy kind of when you think about that, right? Like, hey, you can't tell me who's going to be on the team, but you're going to have to win with who I pick to be right. on the team. Like, it's a concept that obviously has been going on for a long, long time, but it is interesting to say the least, because you're getting rid of a guy that I felt was really, really good at what he did.
My comparison to Mike Vrabel, I said a moment ago, is Mike Tomlin in Pittsburgh, because I think they're both so highly respected. They're defensive-minded coaches, but they're loved by their players. Their players will go to bat no matter mm-hmm. what the situation is. And just point out, last week, they could have rolled over and not cared. They beat Jacksonville. They played hard. I mean, you could tell they were happy. They were excited. Mike Vrabel was excited. I don't know if, I mean, maybe he knew that was his last game as a Tennessee Titan coach. And I know Mike Tomlin's, 17 straight years of winning season. He also had a Hall of Fame quarterback, Ben Roethlisberger, and one or two rings there. Maybe Roethlisberger won one with Cowher, one with
the first Tomlin. One was with Cowher. Yeah.
But anyway, he's had a Hall of Fame quarterback for a portion of the years Tomlin mm-hmm. has, and Vrabel never has. And so you look at the coaching openings, you know, John Bowden was in here the other day. We were talking about if Belichick left, where would he go? And Bowden was sitting there talking about how, you know, the Chargers, you know, that would make sense. Justin Herbert, of all the job openings you have out there, that one's the most appealing in regards to the quarterback situation, right?
Yeah.
But here are the openings. Carolina has Bryce Young, which if you believe in Bryce Young, then maybe that's a good spot for Mike Vrabel, okay? The Raiders, you know, you don't have the quarterback of the future, I don't think. The Chargers, you have Justin Herbert. Listen, if Belichick doesn't leave New England, see, I think if Belichick leaves New England, I think Vrabel would be very interested in New England. He mm-hmm. played for the Patriots for many years. He was an assistant coach under Belichick. I think that would be the understudy that Belichick would love to hand the baton to. But I think, you know, the more I'm seeing things, I think Belichick's staying in New England, from what I'm starting to see. And that's why people jump to conclusions automatically mm-hmm. thinking something. And Belichick said the other day, he's open to changes, which means he wants to stay. If you weren't open to changes, that means you want to go.
Mm-hmm.
So I think he wants to stay in New England. We'll see if it works out. But if he were to leave, I think Vrabel to New England would make total sense. Now, if you're Vrabel, you're like, I still don't have my quarterback, unless you think Mac Jones can be reincarnated, because he didn't have a good offensive line to work with this year, to be fair. But if Belichick stays in New England, if I'm Mike Vrabel, the first organization that I have my agent call, in fact, I'm calling him now. And if I'm the Chargers, I've already made a call to Mike Vrabel's agent.
Yeah.
The Chargers should go after Mike Vrabel. And Mike Vrabel should go after the Charger job, because, one, you've got defensive players that are good. You got Joey Bosa, you got Khalil Mack, you got some cap hell you got to deal with because they overpaid for guys. Keenan Allen sounds like he wants to be back with the Chargers. He's a very good receiver. You've got a better offense in L.A. If Vrabel can build a defense, which the Chargers have had talent on defense, they just don't they don't match the talent they have in regards to performance. But if you, I think Mike Vrabel would be a perfect fit for the LA Chargers, and Mike Vrabel would finally have the luxury of having a. I think Justin Herbert is a franchise quarterback. I know his winning record is 500 as a starter, and they blew a 27-0 lead in the playoffs last year. That's not all Herbert's fault. I think Herbert's an outstanding quarterback. I don't think he's quite at the level of the other guys we've talked about that made deep runs in the playoff, like Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson. But you get Mike Vrabel in L.A., now I think the Chiefs' biggest challenger, without question, is the Chargers. And an experienced coach, the Chargers' last couple hires have not been super experienced or first-time head coaching jobs. I think this is a – that would be the match made in heaven if I'm Mike Vrabel. If I go to the Chargers, I have Justin Herbert, and I can build around him. And now you get the coach and the quarterback right. And how many places have the coach and quarterback right? I mean, you think about it right now. What organizations – have the coach and quarterback right? Think about that for a second. The other openings, Atlanta, they don't have their quarterback unless you think Desmond Ritter's the answer. And Washington has Sam Howell quarterback unless you think he's the answer. Although the Washington job is attractive because they have $78 million in cap space. They have a new owner that's willing to spend and upgrade and improve things. So Washington is a very attractive job, especially if you could go, listen, maybe you trade and get Justin Fields and he's a perfect fit for the Commanders. Maybe you draft the quarterback of the future or you trade up to get the guy. Maybe you can, they have the number two pick. Is that right? Yeah, they do. They have. They could draft their franchise quarterback. That could be Caleb Williams. Or it could be Drake May. Could be somebody else. So, or maybe they trade down and get Michael Penix Jr. or Bo Nix. So the Commander job is appealing because you could be there at the very beginning of a possible franchise quarterback's career. Mm-hmm. So to me, the two most attractive jobs of the six that are available would be L.A. and Washington. Those would be the two. And maybe Carolina, although ownership, I wonder with them. I don't think Carolina's that attractive because of the owner. But those two jobs, the Chargers and the Commanders, and Bill Belichick going to the Commanders would make some sense. You stay on the East Coast, you know, that would make some sense to me. Where does Eric Bieniemy fit in this whole thing? You know, is he going to get any opportunities again? I don't think Commanders are going to let him be the head coach because I think if they were going to let go of Ron Rivera, they could have had Bieniemy step in and be an interim for 3 or 4 weeks and see how it went. And I still don't think Bieniemy's going to get a head coaching job.
I don't either.
I don't think. The luster is, you know, they didn't do great offensively this year, so now that bodes and adds up to the argument that you're an Andy Reid crony. And Andy did most of the heavy lifting, which I don't necessarily agree with, but he definitely have input. But when you look at the National Football League, and you're trying to see who has the coach, and ownership's important too. I mean, to me, the trifecta is ownership, coach, and quarterback. The Chiefs, that I think that's the biggest reason why the Chiefs are so doggone good and been so good for 5 or 6 years. They've had the same quarterback, the same coach, the same owner. The owner doesn't meddle. The owner stays out of the way, okay? The New England Patriots, Bob Kraft, Bill Belichick, Tom Brady. Did they have some ups and downs? And there's a documentary coming out. Obviously, he's going to point. Every organization has their ups and downs, okay? There's going to be internal infighting. That happens all the time. But Robert Kraft, for the most part, stayed out of things, for the most part. Mm-hmm. And he let Belichick do his thing and Brady do his thing. And that's part of the reason why they won 6 Super Bowls and went to 9. But if you look at the National Football League in regards to, you know, what organizations have it all right? Okay, let me go through these, and you tell me if they have it in place. Are you with me?
Yeah, I'm with you.
Okay, go one by one here. So we know the Chiefs have it in place clearly.
Yes,
we're talking coach and quarterback, and we can throw in the ownership if you want. Okay, Buffalo Bills, do they have it?
I think they do.
I agree. The Dolphins, do they have it?
They're on track to have it.
I agree.
Yeah. I can't really like say yes or no definitively yet, but I think they're on the right track to have what they need.
So right now we got to say that there's one, Buffalo. Miami's a work in progress. They beat the Chiefs at Arrowhead, you know, with negative 83 degrees or whatever Miami Dolphin fans want to claim it is.
How this postseason goes will answer that question more for us.
I agree. The Jets?
No.
Patriots?
No.
The Ravens?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. The Browns?
No.
The Steelers? No.
No, I don't.
Because they don't have the franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
The Bengals?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With a healthy Burrow.
Right. The Texans?
I don't know about... I don't. Is the coach right? I don't know.
I think the coach is right. Yeah. I think D'Amico Ryans is a great coach for the Texans. They got C.J. Stroud right. I think that's kind of like the Dolphins.
Similar to the Dolphins. It Let looks it, right now, but...
Yeah. they're trending in the right direction. Yeah. Jacksonville.
Oh, that one's tough.
As of 5 weeks ago, we'd say yes.
You
Doug
feel
Peterson and
like
Trevor
it
Lawrence.
Is right.
Right.
It did not end well.
No, it didn't.
Limbo for them.
The Colts, I would say no, not yet. Anthony Richardson could be the guy. Obviously not Tennessee. We know the Raiders don't. We know the Broncos don't. And we know the Chargers don't. Dallas? I'm going to say I don't know.
For their situation, you feel like
yes.
He
doesn't win as much as he should. He wins plenty of regular season
games. For his
games.
History, I say no. I mean, they need a different coach.
What about the Eagles?
I think they've got it right if everybody's healthy and doing the right thing. I think Sirianni and Hurts are the right combo.
Okay. Giants, no.
No.
Commanders, no. Lions, I'd say no. I don't think Jared Goff's
a franchise quarterback. No, he's not a future franchise quarterback. No.
Packers?
I say no on the Packers.
You got not. Jordan Love might become that franchise quarterback. We don't know yet. He's trending that way, though. The Vikings? No.
No.
The Bears? No. Although they just announced they're bringing back their head coach. Tampa Bay? No. New Orleans? No. Atlanta? No. Carolina doesn't have a head coach, so that's no. San Francisco? Unless you think Brock Purdy's a franchise quarterback, and I'm not sold on that. The Rams? Maybe.
It's just, I think Stafford's similar, right? Like, I don't think that's a thing that's... It's the right combination at the moment in time.
Well, that's what I'm talking about, the moment in time.
But I guess, but he's obviously he's going down and not going to be around that much longer, I don't think.
But I'm talking now. I'm not predicting the future. So I would say they do.
I guess,
Number one overall pick. When he's healthy, he's played well. Two years ago, they won a Super Bowl. And they're 10-7. They won 5 of the last 6. They're rolling. I'd say they do.
Yeah.
The Seahawks, I'd say no.
No.
And the Cardinals, of course, no. So we only came up with 5 for sures. And we're even iffy on one of those. We got Buffalo. We got the Chiefs. We got Baltimore, right?
Yeah.
We got Cincinnati. They're all in the AFC, by the way. And then the other one, I put the Rams. And then we had the Eagles. So we actually had 6. If you agree on the Eagles and the Rams. You know, disagree to agree, debate it all you want. There's maybe 6. Okay? Now... The Niners have such a collective outstanding team around Brock Purdy. And not saying Brock Purdy's not a good quarterback. I just don't think he's a franchise quarterback that's going to be there for 5 to 10 years leading to the playoffs every year. Could be mistaken. Could be wrong. So I would be willing to allow that we could be wrong on that one. That the Niners may very well have their franchise quarterback. And Purdy's been really outstanding this year. So let's say we give that to the Niners because they have an outstanding coach and they've got outstanding talent. The only way that you win with a great coach and an average quarterback is if you have an amazing roster or an amazing defense. See the Ravens back in the day with what's his name?
Brian Billick.
That's an example. John Gruden with Tampa Bay would be another example. Mike Ditka, the Bears.
We are getting to a point in the NFL where that's even being neutralized and taken out. Like the best defenses, it's been since 2003, since a dominant defense is what carried you to the championship, right? Like you have good stretches and good games. Like obviously Spags had a good game against the Patriots, right? When they were undefeated. But it's like you're getting further and further away from even being able to say elite defenses can win you a championship without a near franchise quarterback.
Who won the Super Bowl in 2003?
It was 2002, 2003 Super Bowl. It'd be the Buccaneers.
The Buccaneers was 2000.
Yeah, so the Ravens was the year before that, right? Or 2 years before that.
Ravens were 2000.
Yeah, it was 2 years before that. Yeah.
So you're going back 20 years.
Yeah.
So like back then, like at 85 Bears, you knew, if you asked anybody knew anything about football, who's the best defense? You do. And you immediately said the Bears.
Yeah.
You know, back in the day with the Steelers or the Doomsday defense with the Cowboys. We're going back a long way there. But back in 2000, you immediately knew it was the Ravens. They were dirty birds, man. They were were nasty.
Yeah.
They were dirty sometimes, which it worked for them. And then, of course, you knew that the Buccaneers were the best defense. But since 2003, so in the last 20 years, there might be some years where you're like, oh, yeah, they clearly have the best defense. But if you asked a lot of people in the National Football League, not in the league, but National Football League fans, if you asked them who's the top defense in the league, some may get Baltimore, but it wouldn't be overwhelming if you polled people because it's not that obvious because the Ravens still give up points. They're not the dominant shutdown team that gets shutouts and holds them to 8 points a game like some of those teams back in the day. And I would guess that many people, and I can tell you right now, a lot of national talking heads that are paid a lot of money don't even know this, that the Chiefs are the number two defense in the National Football League.
Yeah.
And so what that means is that if you don't, the only kind of wild card to winning a Super Bowl with a average to maybe above average quarterback who's not a franchise quarterback, or to win a Super Bowl with a decent coach and not a great coach, you would have to have that dominant shutdown defense. Okay, that's not really an option anymore is what you're saying, because the last 20 years it hasn't happened. So it goes back to my argument, and that is you have to have the coach and the quarterback. And if you have the coach and the quarterback, now you have a chance to do some amazing things, which goes back to Mike Vrabel. The coach part is there. No matter where he goes, to me, he is one of the best coaches in the league. I would agree with Mike, the same thing with Mike Tomlin. Imagine Mike Tomlin had Lamar Jackson right now. Imagine Mike Vrabel had Patrick Mahomes. Okay, or C.J. Stroud, who's the newest kid on the block who looks to be legitimate. Or who knows, he might make Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert better. You know, Trevor Lawrence, I think, can be a franchise quarterback. He's number one overall pick. He played well last year, this year not so much. But if you got a great coach and you then get him that quarterback, you are going to be in it year in and year out. And yes, you got to put pieces around these guys, don't get me wrong, but you've got the two biggest things in place. And then if you have supportive ownership that doesn't meddle like Jerry Jones and some other owners, now you've really hit the trifecta. And that's what the Patriots had during their dynasty. It's what the Chiefs have, if you want to call it a dynasty right now. Think about the Steelers back in the day. They had Rooney, they had Knoll, and they had Terry Bradshaw. Mm-hmm. Think about those days. The Cowboys, I forget who their owner was, but they had Tom Landry, and they had Roger Staubach. You know, you can go back to some of these teams. You know, well, the Niners had Bill Walsh, Joe Montana, and Eddie DeBartolo. I mean, they had all three lined up perfectly.
Yeah.
So you think about some of the best teams, you know, Mike Shanahan, John Elway, and Pat Bowlen in Denver. They had all three. They had all three.
Yeah.
And if you have all three, you've got a way better chance than really anybody else in the league. And so when you really start to think about, well, who's the Super Bowl contenders? Who the teams are going to be winning and hoisting Lombardi at the end of the year? I think you've got to narrow it down to those teams we just mentioned. The Rams, the Eagles, the Niners, the Bengals, who are not in the playoffs, the Bills, the Chiefs, and what's the other one?
The Ravens.
Ravens, yeah, I couldn't read my horrible writing. The Ravens. So you have seven teams, and one of them didn't make the playoffs. So basically what I'm saying is you have six teams. Unless you think Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy is a really good combination, which maybe they are now that McCarthy's the OC. It's possible. So if you want to stretch, or you think it's not a stretch, okay, we got eight. That means that only 25% of this league is going to win a Super Bowl based on my hypothesis. Which is pretty solid hypothesis, because I don't see Trent Dilfer's of the world winning Super Bowls anymore. I don't see Brad Johnson's of the world winning Super Bowls anymore. And if you look at the Super Bowl champions the last so many years, is there anybody that's had an average quarterback win? I mean, Mahomes has won two, Tom Brady won one, Matthew Stafford, number one overall pick franchise quarterback with a young, outstanding coach. I mean, I can pull them up for you, but you're going to have to go back a little ways.
You've really got to go back, I think, to
2003, maybe
15 or whatever, when Peyton Manning was average that year. Like
with Denver?
With Denver's defense, was probably the last year we can think of a defense that led a team to a Super Bowl.
That's true.
They weren't as dominant as the Ravens and Buccaneers, and they had a quarterback that had been there and knew the experience, right? Like, but Peyton Manning didn't win that Super Bowl for the Broncos. It was definitely their defense. And so, as you look at that, I think that was probably the last time, you know, I said the Buccaneers, but really the last time a defense probably carried a team to a championship was the Broncos. But again, they still had a franchise quarterback and a Hall of Famer on their team that understood how to win the game, right?
Yeah. Well, let me go through these real quick. So this past year, of course, the Chiefs and the Eagles. Obviously, the Chiefs had the franchise quarterback, the coach. Year before that, the Rams beat the Bengals. The Bengals had the coach and the player, the quarterback, and the Rams had the coach and the quarterback. Chiefs lost to the Buccaneers. Obviously, you have Brady, you had Mahomes, so you got that. The year before that, it was the Chiefs winning the Super Bowl, Andy Reid, Patrick Mahomes. Year before that, it was Belichick and Brady and the Patriots winning. You got to really go back to 2018,
yeah,
when Nick Foles won as a backup quarterback.
Doug Peterson and Nick Foles.
That would be maybe the exception to the rule. And he got red hot. Nick Foles got red hot. That's the exception. You really can't count on it. The year before that, it was New England, Belichick and Brady. And then we go back to Denver, which you mentioned, you know, when you had Manning that really didn't carry that much weight in that one. And the Broncos had a great defense. And then the years prior to that, you had the Patriots win with, of course, Brady and Belichick. The year before that, you had Pete Carroll and you had Russell Wilson, who's a franchise quarterback.
Seattle's defense was outstanding, too.
They were, but they had a franchise quarterback that made a lot of plays. So, and then you go back to 2013. And that was the year Colin Kaepernick took the world by storm for the Niners, and they lost to the Ravens. And the Ravens, Joe Flacco was a quarterback. So you could probably the two exceptions in the last 11 years. In the last 11 years, the two exceptions would be, and then, by the way, the years right before that, Eli Manning, franchise quarterback, Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, franchise quarterback. Year before that, Drew Brees, franchise quarterback. Year before that, Pittsburgh Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, franchise quarterback. Year before that, Giants, Eli Manning, franchise quarterback. Year before that, Peyton Manning, franchise quarterback. Year before that, Steelers, Ben Roethlisberger, stay with me, franchise quarterback. 2 years back to back, it was Brady, franchise quarterback for New England. Then you go to 2003. Boom, there we are.
Yeah.
That's where we went, right? So there's only really been two exceptions to the rule in 20 years, if you really, truly look at it, regards to not having the so-called franchise quarterback and doing it differently. There's only two teams that have done it. And Denver still had the Hall of Fame quarterback, so you could maybe say, I don't know about that one. The exception would be, really, the only one that I see here would be 13, you had Flacco and the Ravens, which that defense was good, but they gave up 31 points in that game. So their defense wasn't what it once was. So 13 might be an exception, okay? And then the Eagles with the backup quarterback, Nick Foles, beating the Patriots in a high-shooting game. So we're talking two of the last 20, roughly, don't have the equation of quarterback slash, well, one, you don't even have the part of the two-part equation I'm talking about. You don't have the franchise quarterback. So it doesn't matter if you have the coach or not.
Exactly,
you don't have the franchise quarterback. I've expanded upon the coach added to the player, the quarterback. If you get the quarterback right, it might not matter who your coach is to an extent. That's what some people are arguing with Belichick and Brady is like, look, he won without Belichick. Belichick hadn't done jack squat without Brady. Listen, quarterbacks or coaches are a hell of a lot smarter when they've got a stud quarterback. And basketball coaches are a hell of a lot smarter when they got an unbelievable star, superstar player, right? I mean, Phil Jackson was great and all, but he had Jordan, he had Kobe, he had Shaq, he had Pippen. I mean, Phil Jackson didn't end up having a team that didn't have a superstar, did he? Now, I think he made those guys better, and they didn't win championships until he came in. The Lakers were struggling before he came in and won championships right away. The Bulls couldn't get over the top until he became the head coach. So there's no doubt there that you can certainly sit there and say coaching is important. And I'm not saying it isn't. But you've heard the old saying, it's not the X's and O's, but it's the Jimmys and the Joes. You can be the greatest coach of all time. Like, Mike Vrabel might be the greatest coach of all time. We don't even know it. But he's had Ryan Tannehill, Will Levis, Malik Willis, Marcus Mariota as his quarterbacks. Dear God, if he had what Andy Reid had, Donovan McNabb, and Patrick Mahomes, what would Vrabel be a Super Bowl-winning coach? I bet you he would. And I'm not trying to knock Andy Reid.
Sure.
I'm not trying to knock Andy Reid by saying that. It's just that Vrabel has never had the franchise quarterback. You give him Justin Herbert, Bryce Young turns up to be a stud, or he goes to Washington and they get their star quarterback, and that's Caleb Williams or whoever it might be, Drake May. By golly, Mike Vrabel, you might be retiring his bust as a Hall of Fame football coach. He just needs the quarterback, I'm telling you. Because his defense is always solid. They play physical. His teams are respected. They always have a great game plan. They rarely get blown out. Now imagine giving him a Rolls Royce as a quarterback instead of, no offense to Ford or Chevy, but a Ford or a Chevy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's...
I would not be jogging. I would not be walking. I would not be galloping. I would be sprinting to see Mike Vrabel if I'm the LA Chargers. And the Washington Commanders.
For sure, yes.
Or anybody that has a coaching
opening.
Anybody
that's got an opening.
I would be screaming and running and saying, please, 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 Mike Vrabel, consider us.
Absolutely.
And then see who Tennessee hires in place of Vrabel.
Yeah, it's. I mean, it's not difficult to figure out who the good coaches are if you put them in the right situations. And I think people know that.
Yeah.
But Tennessee, I mean, he was there for a while, and then it didn't work out. And a lot of times, I think both parties think maybe a change can sure. move you in the right direction. I'm not saying Mike Vrabel wanted to be fired, but
right.
I think a change of scenery might be the difference. And obviously, a change of having a franchise quarterback is the difference for anybody.
Absolutely.
Like, it doesn't matter like who you are. If you get a Patrick Mahomes or a Tom Brady or a Peyton Manning or a Ben Roethlisberger even, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you inherit that, if you're Mike Tomlin, right, like, you know, you want to go into those situations, and if you do, you're set up way better than anybody that's trying to build this thing from the ground up. And I think Mike Vrabel is an outstanding example of somebody that, with the right situation, could just dominate. That's what I think. I
agree with you. And I think with Mike Vrabel, I'm looking at his coaching records. First year is 9-7. Second year, 9-7. Lost to the Chiefs in the AFC title game. And that's when he had Marcus. That's not right. That would be. So he wasn't the head coach. No, that's got that can't be right. This is Wikipedia here. That can't be right because the Titans beat the Chiefs. The last year, Alex Smith was the head coach. Or not the head coach, but the quarterback. So there's a flaw here, by the way. I know that. But they lost with Ryan Tannehill, quarterback, in the AFC title game. They lost with Marcus Mariota when they beat the Chiefs and then lost the next game. They lost to the Ravens AFC wildcard game when they 11-5 in 2020. They were 12-5 in 2021. Lost to the Bengals AFC divisional game. Of course, that was the year they had the one seed, and the Bengals knocked them off and then went to Arrowhead for the AFC title game. That was another one of those where the Chiefs caught a break and got to host the AFC title game because Tennessee lost that game, if you remember, and they missed some. I think they missed a field goal, and they had some opportunities. They should have won the game against the Bengals and didn't. And sacked Burrow like 10 times and still didn't win the game. But the point I'm trying to make is he was 11-5. He was 9-7, 11-5, and 12-5 with Marcus Mariota and Ryan Tannehill as his quarterback. Now imagine what he could do.
Yeah.
I mean, that's pretty impressive. Now, last 2 years, 7-10, 6-11. His quarterback was Malik Willis for a little bit, a broken down Ryan Tannehill has hurt a lot. And then this year, Will Levis, who showed some potential, but I don't know if he's a franchise quarterback or ever will be. It does back up our argument. Give this poor man, he's not poor, he makes good money, but give this head coach the quarterback he needs and look out.
Apparently, Mike Mularkey was the coach when the Chiefs lost to the Titans.
Was it really?
Yeah, because then they lost to the Patriots bad the next round. It was 2017 season.
Okay, so, yeah. All right, so Mularkey was that. So he didn't even have... So see, Vrabel didn't even have Mariota when he was good.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Actually adds to the argument a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
It was Mularkey that had the Titans were down 21-0, came back, beat the Chiefs. Yeah. Kelsey got the concussion, and Smith and the Chiefs
offense. Jeff Chirpel, it was a bunch of Mularkey that day.
Yes, if that call would have gone that way, the Titans wouldn't probably won that game. So, listen, Mike Vrabel is out there, and if you have an opening as an NFL organization, you should be begging this man to be your head coach. That's just my opinion. I think he's a hell of a coach. By the way, speaking of coaches, end with this one. Eric Spoelstra, widely considered to be one of the best coaches in the NBA, if not the best. He has a record-breaking contract to go to his lofty status. The Miami Heat have signed Spoelstra to an 8-year contract extension worth more than $120 million. It's not just the highest amount of money that has ever been committed to an NBA coach. It's any North American coach.
Wow.
And you know, it's funny to me because when LeBron went to Miami, everybody's like, Spoelstra, oh yeah, well, they don't need a coach in Miami. They got Bosh, Wade, and LeBron. They started like 9-8 that year. Spoelstra's a dunce. He doesn't know what he's doing. He's just a Pat Riley crony. Pat Riley needs to unretire and coach this team. They were talking about how he wasn't that great. And now, how many years later is it? 10 years or whatever it is later? I don't know when LeBron went to Miami. I forgot what year it was. But you're sitting here giving this guy the most money of all, and he seems to overachieve with the teams he has and the players he has, and he makes the better players even better than they are, like a Jimmy Butler, a Tyler Hero, and now the guy's got $120 million. It's amazing we go from a guy being a dunce, a young guy that's just a crony of Pat Riley, to now one of the best coaches in the NBA, widely respected. And even the veterans and free agents to be that don't go to Miami say, hey, that's a great organization, so forth and so on. And why wouldn't you want to go to Miami? Right, Dolphin fans? It's never cold there. But $120 million for Eric Spoelstra. That's a lot of dough.
It's a lot. He's done a lot to prove a lot of people wrong about what they thought of him. You know, early on, he had Michael Beasley on his team, so I wanted to see Beasley play a lot more. And I thought he was, like, hampering and holding back Beasley. Mm-hmm. But that proved to not be the case later on in Beasley's career, right? Like, and then right after that is when LeBron came in. So I didn't really know what he was until moving past LeBron and then actually getting to the finals against LeBron in the COVID year there. And then, you know, getting back and doing things and making runs continuously in the playoffs with teams that sometimes you think have no business making runs in the playoffs. And he's got them in a great spot. And I think he might be the best coach in the NBA right now.
Like, he might be.
And Steve Kerr might have something to say about that and other guys, but.
Right. So in his time, he started head coach in 2008-2009 season, and now he's in 2022-2023. So what, 15 years? Eric Spoelstra has missed the playoffs just three times. He's had a losing record just twice. He's won two NBA titles back-to-back with the Heat with LeBron. Been to, oh my dear Lord, one, two, three. I didn't realize it. He's been to six NBA finals.
Twice since LeBron left. Right.
Yeah. Last year, and then they lost in the bubble to the Lakers, and they overachieved that year. So he's been to six NBA finals. He's got two rings. He's only missed playoffs three times, and he's won the division at least half of those 15 years. It's pretty impressive. His overall winning percentage, 59%. And here's one more for you. And I did read about this yesterday. Eric Spoelstra announced his engagement in September of 2015 to a Miami Heat dancer, a former Heat dancer, Nikki Sapp. Now, you may be wondering why I'm bringing this up. They married in July of 16. They have two sons, one daughter. That's awesome. Great family, right? They divorced in November, 2 months ago. I read yesterday that this had been negotiated and talked about, but they held off to give him the money until his divorce was final. Which, if that's the case,
that's a smart move.
Smart,
very, very smart move.
See this guy and how smart he is? How smart is Eric Spoelstra? He knows to wait and be patient to get $120 million until the divorce is final. Yes. Now, that is a guy that deserves $120 million, or so I say.
I'm Elijah at Kiever Brothers Automotive in Beloit. When your vehicle has a problem or needs maintenance, Kiever Brothers is your home for fast, friendly auto repair. Whether you need tires, brakes, batteries, belts, hoses, air conditioning, a transmission, engine, or just an oil change, there's only one thing you need to remember. We fix everything. Kiever Brothers Automotive delivers fast, friendly auto repair, and we fix everything. Find us just south of the courthouse in Beloit and online at KieverBrothers.com.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.